Daniels, A.G. Colcord, W.A. Falkhead, N.D. Salisbury. Sunnyside, Corranbong, Australia. September 20th, 1896. Dear brethren, Daniels, Colcord, Falkhead, and Salisbury. While examining my scratchbooks for an article which I wished to find, I came across the letter which I am sending to you. I supposed it had been copied and sent. I will have it copied and sent to you on the morrow. I dare not neglect this matter. I am sorry that for some reason there has been a delay. January 13th, 1897. Dear brethren, Daniels, Colcord, Falkhead, and Salisbury. I am more sorry than I can express that you have made a mistake, a blunder. Advantages has been taken of this. The plans have been made to bring things to just such a crisis. My brethren, could you not see that money had been expended to send Brother Miller to America, that he might obtain an experience that would enable him to do more and better work than has hitherto been done at the Echo office? Could you not see that by your decision to let him leave the office, you were counteracting the work that had been done at an expense of hundreds of dollars? Brother Miller was sent to America that he might come back qualified to educate others in the various lines of work to be done in a publishing house. We counseled over this matter before he was sent to America, and thought it was best to do this rather than to send for an American to come to Australia. And now is all this to be for naught? The brothers of Brother Miller have been receiving an education that would be of the highest value to them and to the office if they would preserve their simplicity and integrity. These young men have gained an experience at the office, and they are now becoming capable of filling positions of trust. Will you let them go from the office? Will you begin again to educate workers from the ABC upward? No, you cannot afford to do this. It costs too much. If these brethren insist upon having their own way, you will be compelled to send to America for at least 2 good workers without a week's delay. You see the situation, brethren. You cannot now help the mistake that has been made, but I am urged by the Spirit of God to counsel you to mix faith in God with all your movements. We may not now see the outcome of this mistake. It may be that it will work out for the good of the office and the glory of God. It may bring especial trials to you all, that you may be enabled the better to understand that the Echo office is God's appointed instrumentality, over which he has a constant, watchful care. The Lord has shown me that there has not been among the workers a sense of the sacredness of this important center. They have not realized that it is God's by appointment, designed by him, to accomplish the work essential to be done in this part of the world. The same defects that have been seen in the Review and Herald office and in the Pacific Press have been seen in the Echo office. There has been a failure to recognize the high and exalted character of God's instrumentalities. The Lord has spoken to the managers of the Review and Herald office and to the managers of the Pacific Press, presenting before them the fact that the Lord would have these instrumentalities regarded as his own by appointment, that as his great centers, they are to be sacredly guarded by faithful stewards. All who connect with the institutions established by the Lord should be consecrated to God, soul, body, and spirit. No one who is an unbeliever should be permanently employed. No one whose mind is not under the control of the Holy Spirit should be allowed to handle the sacred work of God, for the enemy lays plans to lead such men to do things which will hurt the work, and which will result in great loss and hindrance. If such, because of necessity, are brought into connection with the work for a time, and, after having had opportunity to know the truth, are no nearer conversion than before, quietly dismiss them, even if their place should have to be filled by a man from America. But when such are dismissed, be very careful that they do not go with a spirit of irritation, for it is possible for them to hurt you and do you much harm. If they leave with a revengeful spirit, they can communicate falsehoods and misrepresent the work. you will feel that something is hurting the work, you know not what. It is the secret, underhand work that is being done. Hence the peril of connecting with one of this class, who feels under no obligation to surrender himself to God. All these things are to be considered. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? No man can serve two masters, for either ye will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Romans 6, verse 16. Matthew 6, verse 24. When you examined the books and discovered the real indebtedness of the office, some were shocked. They treated the matter unwisely and looked upon God's appointed center from a common, worldly standpoint, as though it was their property and the loss was theirs. They felt embarrassed and began to fear and tremble. They thought that some of the workers must be dismissed. This was Satan's time to work. He improved the advantage given and said, "Now is your time." He had been officious in preparing the way for brethren Miller and Woods to make the proposition that they separate from the office and take up business on their own account. Then their wages would not come out of the office. Without due consideration, our brethren assented that this might be best. But they did not consider that the wages would be saved at a great loss to the office, that the work these men had been doing would still have to be done. To take away four educated workers who were doing their several appointed work would rob the office of ability and talent that could not be well supplied in this country. If the brethren that withdraw from the office had looked at the matter in the proper light, as faithful servants who were seeking to do God's service, they would have seen that they would not be clear before God in leaving the office. Their unselfishness would have told them that the office must suffer in consequence. But unsatisfied ambition blinded their eyes to the true condition of things, and they showed themselves unfaithful sentinels of the Lord's great center. The Lord calls for the men who are connected with sacred things to be as true as steel to his work and to the cause of God. His instrumentalities are to be first in all their thoughts and plans. They are to be guarded as a sacred matter. The Lord's co-workers are to use every jot of their entrusted ability and knowledge for him. Especially should this have been in the case of Brother Miller, for at the expense of money from the treasury of God, he had received knowledge at the Pacific Press. This knowledge should have been used for the benefit of the office, not for his own benefit. If he allows the matter to remain as it now is, he will have an account to render of robbery toward God. Brethren Miller and Woods should have taken an all-sided, Christian view of this matter, as also should the brethren who were left in the office. All who were in any way connected with the work should have carefully considered the situation before uttering any words in harmony with unbelief. The enemy moves very slowly and cautiously if he sees that this will deter the work from advancing. At times, moderation has been sin and unbelief. But when he sees the delay will injure his plans, he creates circumstances which make it necessary to move hastily, without due consideration. Much deliberation was needed in this case. It was necessary for all the actors to fast and pray, for they were stewards of God's work. It was placed in their hands to conduct to the very best end. After much prayer, believing that the Lord would answer them, they should have waited patiently until they could move intelligently. My brethren, if you had all had a solemn sense that you were stewards of sacred trust, had you realized from your first connection with the office that you were in co-partnership with God, these rash, selfish movements would not have been made by brethren Miller and Woods. Self-serving was the root of it all. Deceitful reasoning came in. If you had received from God the Spirit which all should cherish, if you had had a sense of the sacredness of God's work, you would have realized that you did not rightly regard the center where God is watching and working. My brethren, you moved altogether too hastily. Elder Daniels made a mistake when he left matters in such a crisis at North Fitzroy. The enemy was allowed to come in and occupy the field. God was not in this. Many things have taken place that reveal unwise generalship. But the Lord will not leave his people.
Those who acted a part in the circumstances of this separation did not realize sufficiently what they were doing. They did not realize their responsibility and accountability toward God as those who are entrusted with a sacred charge. The work is not yours, but the Lord's, and none are to become faint-hearted. The angels have a constant care over the work. The Lord would have all know that they have lacked wisdom and faith. You have a desire to walk by sight. God would have you learn to walk by faith. You will be often tempted to look at appearance, but this will not do. You must walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. But when you looked at your depleted treasury, the dark shadows encircled you, and your faith failed. Then was the time to talk faith and courage, to rise to the emergency. The work is the Lord's, it is not ours, and we may safely leave it in his hands. Daniel sought the Lord when brought into trying places, and when in trouble, we must pray earnestly to God. You have not moved wisely in all things. You need to learn the lesson of self-denial and self-sacrifice. You must be willing to receive less money in an emergency. God will be glorified in this. The enemy is seeking to use every device which will cripple this institution. He seeks to make it a common thing through those whom he connects with it. When the workers are educated to think of this great center as related to God and under his supervision, when they realize that it is a channel through which light from heaven is to be communicated to the world, great respect and reverence will be shown to it. The best thoughts and noblest feelings will be cultivated and brought into the work, that the heavenly intelligences may cooperate with human beings. As the workers realize that they are in the presence of angels, whose eyes are too pure to behold iniquity, what a strong restraint they will place on thoughts, words, and actions. They will be given moral strength, for the Lord says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Every worker will possess a precious experience and a power and faith that is stronger than all circumstances. They will be able to say, "The Lord is in this place." Genesis 28, verse 16. The angels of God will be in every room. The power of an inward life will circulate through the office. There will be a power in the lives of the workers that will be felt throughout the entire institution. Brethren, you must rise higher in your service. The office is not to be regarded as a common business institution. All who acknowledge God in his appointed channels, who act as faithful stewards in any place where they can do God's service, will be honored by God. Paul charged Timothy, "Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine." 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. These words need to be considered by all connected with the Lord's work. Set your own heart in order before God. Then the Holy Spirit will so prepare you that you will be a mouthpiece for God. We are God's workmanship. The value of the human agent depends wholly upon the polishing he receives. When the rough stones are prepared for the building, they must be taken into the shop and hewed and squared. The process is often sharp as the stone is pressed down upon the wheel, but the rough coarseness is being removed and the luster begins to appear. The Lord spends not his time upon worthless material. Only his jewels are polished after the similitude of a palace. Every soul must not only submit to the work of the divine hand, but must put to the tax every sinew and muscle, that the character may become more pure, the words more helpful, the actions such as God can approve. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12, verse 37. We read in Zechariah, "And the angel that talked with me came again, and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches through which the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 1 to 3, 11 to 14.
The two olive trees, the heavenly messengers, empty the golden oil out of themselves into the golden tubes, that it may flow into the golden bowls representing the churches. These are to let the light shine forth in glorious brightness. See Revelation 1, verse 20, 2, 1. The Lord will not accept the most splendid service unless the work is purified from all selfishness, all pride, and all impurity. There must be soul consecration. The golden oil from the heavenly messengers must be received. This connection with the divine influences will make every worker in the office a living channel of light. Far greater consecration must be shown. Active faith must be manifested. The Lord will bless those who are faithful and make them stewards of His grace. They will be capable of appreciating the fact that they are honored in being privileged to be brought directly into connection with the Lord's work. The Lord would have all connect with Him in His chosen work. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, were slain because they placed common fire on their censers and offered it before the Lord. This the Lord had commanded them not to do. The sacred fire, kept burning day and night, was of God's own kindling, and was to be used upon the censers of the priests. But Nadab's and Abihu's brains were beclouded by the wine which they had been drinking. They had not a clear sense of what they were about, and the sacred fire was not distinguished from the common. Fire from the Lord devoured them, and they died before the Lord. All are to realize that the experience of Nadab and Abihu may be applied to our time. This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. Leviticus 10, verse 3. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me like a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with God. And he said, A light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49, verse 2 to 4, or 6. This is the word of the Lord to all who have any connection with His appointed institutions. They are favored of God. They are brought into channels where the light shines. They have a work to do for God. They are in God's special service, and they are not to esteem this as a light thing.
proportionate to their position of sacred trust, should be their sense of responsibility and devotion. Cheap common talk and light, trifling behavior should not be tolerated. A sacred sense of the place should be encouraged and cultivated. All should be educated to realize that we need a deeper, higher teaching than man can give. Let all do their best to help those connected with them to do their best. With earnest words, direct their minds to the great teacher. Christ must dwell in the heart, just as the blood must be in the body, circulating through it as a vitalizing power. Each should strive to help his fellow laborer to the perfection of knowledge, that he may do more perfect service for God. None are to work for love of praise, of applause, or because of an ambitious desire for supremacy. The true worker for God will do his best because in so doing he can glorify God. We will do right in order to regard the requirements of God. He will try to improve all his faculties. He will perform all his duties as unto God. His one desire will be that Christ may receive homage and perfect service. This honors the Redeemer, who clothed his divinity with humanity and gave himself to a shameful death that he might break Satan's power upon man, that man, through faith in Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior, might be complete in his humanity, like unto Christ. Will all who work in our institutions take heed to these things? The Lord sees not as man sees. He looks beneath the surface. He looks at the mind, from whence all our actions proceed. Especially does he note everything that glorifies his name before the people. The movements made by brethren Miller and Woods to separate from the office and use their God-given ability in their own service were wrong. The Lord will not, cannot bless them. They have dishonored the Lord's instrumentality, and by their actions they have manifested to the people that they have no more respect for the Lord's great center than for their own business interest. The sacred things that should be treated as high and exalted have been placed on a level with common things.
The Lord designs that, through our publishing houses, our sanitariums, and our schools, bright beams of light shall shine to the world. Every branch of the work connected with or attached to these instrumentalities should be treated with the highest respect. But a lack of faith has been revealed. Now is not the time to lessen our facilities and show that our expectations are growing feeble. God would have improved, elevated, ennobled, and sanctified the ability possessed by the brethren Millers if they had let selfish schemes alone and had walked humbly before God. The Lord has taught these young men. He has given them qualifications for his work. They were blessed by the Lord in proportion to their unselfish devotion to his work. Had Brother Miller come back from America fully resolved to put heart and soul into the work of God, willing to work cheerfully for God's glory, he could have carried his brothers with him and have been to them a channel of light. But the experience gained by them through the unwise movements that have been made has been deleterious to their spiritual advancement. By his spirit of selfishness, he has turned things in a wrong channel and set in operation a current of influence that has resulted in harm to souls for whom Christ died. Some will never find their standing again. In some things, Brother Miller has not gained by his visit to America. He has not obtained increased humility. He came back with a spirit of self-sufficiency. He was free to return to Australia with right motives, or to yield to temptation, and set self before the Lord's appointed work. This latter he has done. He has given evidence that he had not heart and soul for the work. If he had, he would have been used by the Lord to bring freshness and courage into the institution. This was his test. Oh, my heart aches as I see so little wisdom exercised in these matters,
and so little faith shown in God. The Lord would have reform movements made. Irregularities will be sure to occur, and strange things will take place in every institution that has been established. But if the workers are grafted into the true vine stock and become more and more fruitful, they will not look at the things which are temporal, but at the things which are unseen and eternal. The results of inexcusable ignorance of the dealing of God with his people is that when trial comes, selfishness is revealed. The sentiments that compose the religious experience are made manifest. All that separates from God means the development of traits of character which will never allow us to see the mansions which Christ has gone to prepare for those that cooperate with him. The world knows not God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, but they are not excusable. They might know the sinfulness of selfish motives. They might imitate the pure, self-denying life of Christ, our example. Men have positions and influence and authority, and they are pleased and content with the established order of things. Too many have no practical sympathy with the souls that are perishing in their ignorance. The world is full of those whose aims are selfish. They have no correct views of the Lord's instrumentalities, ordained and set apart by him to do his work, not to build up selfish interests, but to establish his kingdom in the world. But life is too solemn to be absorbed in temporal and earthly matters, in a treadmill of care and anxiety for the things that are but an atom in comparison with eternal interests. In the circumstances that have occurred in North Fitzroy, hearts have been revealed. Unbelief has been shown on all sides, and the enemy has watched for an opportunity to spring into active life, the buried seeds of unbelief. These will flourish into roots of bitterness, whereby many will be defiled. Why should we look for results of this kind? This is the way Satan works. He makes his impression upon hearts that do not clearly discern spiritual things.
A revival is so much needed in the Echo office. A revival that would extend throughout the church. The workers must give soul and body to God, that they may do his work acceptably. There must be no drawing apart to set up a separate interest, for this would make a rival to God's instrumentality. There are those who profess to be children of God, who do not study from cause to effect. They do not appreciate the blessings which they daily received. Let old and young remember that we are forming characters which will decide our future, eternal destiny. Keep in touch with Jesus, not now and then. This is not enough, but always. We must abide in Christ as the branch is united to the parent stalk. The Lord has given to each and every one his work. All are to keep the glory of God in view. The heart of Christ is grieved when he sees those who have their names on the church records, so full of unbelief, so interestedly active to give their opinion on things which they do not understand. Many are not prepared to receive the richest proclamation ever made to fallen man. The publishing house at North Fitzroy is either the Lord's appointed center or it is not. If it is the Lord's instrumentality, all should regard it thus and work always with the glory of God in view. Had those bearing the responsibility in the office called the workers together and stated the situation to them, speaking strong, courageous words to all, for there was need of such words, showing that God's eye is continually upon this institution, for it is his means of diffusing light to the world, a very different state of things would now appear. Not one seed of unbelief should have been sown. Only seeds of faith should have been planted. Had this been done, how different should have been the showing. Trials will come to all who engage in the Lord's work. Encourage all to seek the Lord in earnest prayer, asking him to work in behalf of his own instrumentality. Mistakes have been made because a proper estimate has not been placed on the Lord's center, from which the heavenly olive trees are appointed to empty themselves into the golden tubes to supply the golden bowls of the candlestick with oil, but the light may shine forth in distinct rays to the world. It is the transforming energy of the Holy Spirit that is so much needed in every institution. My brethren, while you lament the mistakes and deplorable errors that have been made, do not add to sin by continuing in unbelief. Let all that are left in the office look to God and cry to Him for wisdom. Work away from all self-serving. We are laborers together with God. With such a helper, should you disbelieve? He is our personal Savior, our lawgiver as well as our helper. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Then let God work through you. By faith, open your hearts to receive the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. All need to live by faith and work by faith. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. Christ says, "Come unto me for strength." You impart no light, no courage to others, unless you first receive grace from me.